Welcome to today's special edition of Go Beyond with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, be sure to come and visit us. For more information about our ministry, please feel free to visit our website at www.judahministries.net. Here's Pastor Michael.
Well, praise God. This morning we are continuing our study of the book of Revelation, and we're just about halfway through. This morning we are going to take our time going through Revelation chapter 12. The title of this message is The Woman, the Child, and the Dragon. The Woman, the Child, and the Dragon. Now, if you've missed some of these messages, or maybe this is your first time hearing this study of the book of Revelation, we have all of our videos up on our YouTube channel as well as our Facebook page. Now, just to set the table a little bit this morning, I want to read the opening three verses in chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. If you could throw that first passage up there for me. The Bible says right in Revelation 1, 1 and 3, it says, "The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants." I want to pause there. To show his servants. Are there any servants of God in here? All right. What must soon take place? He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. So as I read these words, I'm being blessed right this very minute. Come on, somebody. And somebody say, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written in it, because the time is near, meaning it will soon happen. It will quickly happen once it starts. And how many know it? We're cooking right now, somebody. So how many of you are ready to be blessed this morning? Once again, the title of this message is The Woman, the Child, and the Dragon, which is going to lead us to the rise of the Antichrist in the next message. And how many of you know that we're not looking for the Antichrist, but we're looking for the return of Jesus Christ? Remember, these messages aren't designed to frighten you, but to enlighten you. They're not to discourage you, but to encourage you. They're not to fill your heart with fear, but rather with faith. As we look around our world today, we might see everything and think that everything is falling apart, and understandably so. The world is in complete chaos. However, according to our God and His Word, everything is not falling apart. Everything is falling into place. Come on, somebody help me say amen. I'm here to tell somebody today, our God is sovereign. Our God moves the chess pieces. Come on, somebody help me. So let's just review just a little bit in the first 11 chapters. As a quick review, thus far in chapter 1, we saw Christ in all his glory and all his honor. He's revealed as the King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords. He's revealed in chapter 1 as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In chapters 2 and 3, we learned about the conditions of the seven churches, which represents not only the local churches in Asia Minor at that time, but the history of the churches and even to the current day. Unfortunately, as we read through those two chapters, the church, not the world, the church was filled with sexual promiscuity. The church was filled with idolatry and religiosity. A church we found that was asleep, and there was a lukewarm church. And we read all about that through the seven churches. But we also saw in those passages, come on somebody, that God still has a remnant. That God still has a church that still loves the lost. He still has a church today that loves the broken. He has a church today that gives more than they have. He has a church that still welcomes the truth of the Word of God. He has a church today that loves to worship Him and to praise Him without inhibition. Come on, is there anybody like that in this house here today? Chapters 4 and 5, we get a glimpse of the throne room of God. We see nothing but worship. We see the New Testament saints and the Old Testament saints gathered around the throne of God, just blessing Him and worshiping Him around the clock. Then we move on into chapter 6, and we see the beginning of the tribulation period, which is the first 3.5 years of a 7-year period. Chapters 6 through 11, the tribulation period begins. We know it starts with the white horse and a false peace, but then we quickly see earthquakes and the cosmos are shaken. We see great wars. We see plagues. We see massive death around the world like we've never seen before in history. Kings are looking for hiding places in the caves, and presidents and prime ministers and these global elitists worth billions and billions of dollars, they're looking to hide in the caves because they fear the wrath of the Lamb. One of the most amazing passages in this scripture, if you could throw this up there, Josh, throughout this whole section of scripture, is found in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 20, when there's this massive death everywhere. It says, "The rest of mankind who were not killed," because thousands, millions, possibly billions will be killed. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, here it is, still did not repent of the works of their hands. It's amazing to me. God is pouring out His wrath, but they still will not bow their knee to Jesus Christ. They did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons, idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood. In other words, they would not let go of their worship of their cars and their houses, and they were worshiping their children or their grandchildren even. They were worshiping their ministries. Come on, talk to me, somebody in the house of Judah. They were worshiping their jobs and their positions of powers. In other words, people's hearts are so filled with nothing but materialism and hedonism. People worshiping at the altar of the unholy Trinity. Come on, we define that here at Judah Ministries. Me, myself, and I. Come on, talk to me, somebody in the house. We see it throughout those chapters. Now, starting in chapter 12 begins what is referred to, and even Jesus referred to this period, beginning in chapter 12 and 13, as the Great Tribulation. The tribulation period is the 7-year period, but the Great Tribulation period begins at chapter 12, 13, and beyond. It's the second half of the tribulation. And we know in Revelation chapter 9, right? Jesus Christ returns. So we know that when we're reading in this time frame, Jesus is about to crack the eastern sky and put His feet down on the Mount of Olives. Somebody say hallelujah. Now, before we get into chapter 12, let me give you just a couple of quick pointers on this chapter and how to read this chapter. Number one, we will see Satan has his target on two people groups. He targets the ethnic Jews, and he targets those who follow Jesus. Anybody following Jesus here? Now, let me break some news to you. Satan hates you. Honey, don't ever think that little devil's your friend. He hates two people groups. We see it clear in these passages that we're about to read. The reason why he hates the Jews and he tries to eliminate the Jews, because if he can eliminate the Jewish people, he would eliminate the promise of God to the Jewish people. How many of you know God has promised to save the nation of Israel? There's a lot of disinformation about this, even in the church today, which is so unfortunate, but it just takes a simple read through the book of Romans, chapters 9 through 11, but you can see it all the way from Genesis to Revelation, that the Israelites, the Jews, are God's chosen people. If Satan can eliminate the Jews from the earth, he would make God out to be a liar.
Yes.
Because then God could not fulfill his promise. So his and we're going to see it in here, he wants to eliminate the Jewish people, and we see it already rising up in our society today, even here in America. Are you hearing me, somebody in the house? The second group of people he hates is you. Are you a believer of Jesus? Here's why he hates you. Because Christians, true Christians, yeah, you almost have to qualify that today. True Christians, we are the only people on earth that carry the hope of salvation. Muslims don't carry a hope of salvation. Buddhists don't carry the hope of salvation. Confucianism doesn't carry the hope of salvation. Atheists, come on, somebody. We are the only ones that carry the message of the truth of the Word of God. If you're born again today, the Spirit of God is living in you. That's why Jesus says you've already received power. To do what? Be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and where the uttermost parts of the earth. So because you have this hope, oh my God, in glory within you, you have a large target on yourself. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual weapons in high places. Number two, chapter 12 covers thousands of years of history in just 17 verses. So it can't be read as a one-time event. John writes about the pre-Adamic age all the way to the midway point of the tribulation period, which is still in the future from today. Number three, John is writing this prophecy from a different dimension. Remember, we read back earlier in Revelation 4, the Bible says that John the Revelator was caught up in the Spirit. So he's writing this from a spiritual realm. So there's no time in the spiritual realm. So throughout this chapter, he sees the past, he sees the present, which was his present 2,000 years ago, and he's going to see the future, which is 1,000 years at least beyond our time, because he sees through the millennial reign, which is 1,000 years. The millennial reign hasn't started. So he's seeing quite a panorama of time. Furthermore, he sees the heavenlies, he sees hell, and he sees the earth, and he's also observing in both the physical and the spiritual dimensions. Listen, this war that's going on in Iran right now, do you think that's about politics? This is a spiritual war. It's manifesting in the natural. And you're going to read that all the way through the book of Revelation. You see it. So he's talking about physical and spiritual dimensions. However, he is limited to the knowledge, to his knowledge and understanding. For example, he could never, he had no knowledge of a nuclear weapon. He had no knowledge of chemical or biological warfare. John the Revelator never saw a jet or a missile or a tank, so he would have challenges describing these things to us 2,000 years ago. So, reading through the book of Revelation, it takes study, takes research, as well as it takes some godly imagination. How many of you know imagination is a good thing? God gave it to you. Somebody say amen. So it takes some of that to discern the book of Revelation. Now, we cannot be dogmatic about certain items in the book of Revelation. That's where we give grace. But the overall theme we can agree on. Now, the two witnesses, just to pick it up, this is what we're running into. In chapter 11, the two witnesses have just been killed. They were just raptured unto God after 3.5 days of lying in the streets of Jerusalem. Thousands were killed in the earthquake, but yet thousands were saved. There was a great revival in Jerusalem when these two witnesses were raptured. In chapter 11, the kingdom of the world has now become the kingdom of our Lord in the spiritual sense. We read that last message. So there's a tectonic shift in the spirit realm right now. Here we go. Revelation chapter 12, if you have your Bible. We're going to begin right at verse 1. The Bible says, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. We will discern that later, that symbolism. Verse 4, its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon in front stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness, a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. Now, these 6 verses alone span more than 4,000 years of history. So let's kind of break this down a little bit. Number one, the woman in verse 1 in Israel is the Jewish nation, clothed in all her glory. Her crown, the 12 stars, represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And being clothed in the sun, meaning Israel, is the center of God's universe, if you will. Listen, somebody, Israel, not America, is the apple of God's eye. Israel is God's chosen nation, not America, not Rome, not Paris. Are you hearing me? Listen, when you poke Israel, you poke our God. When you mock Israel, you mock our God. I'm here to tell somebody, when you attack Israel, you attack our God. Our God will not be mocked. He is the defender of Israel. And my Bible says that he never slumbers, nor does he sleep. Come on, church. In verse 4, it coincides with Ezekiel chapter 28 and 17. You could go do the study later. We don't have time to read all these scriptures today. But it records Satan being cast out of heaven, and a third of the stars or a third of the angels are swept out with him. Even though Satan was cast out of heaven in Ezekiel chapter 28, he still had access to God. We see this in Job chapter 1. How many of you know Satan reports to our God? Well, you need to get that straight, y'all. Satan can't do anything to you unless he asks our God first. That's evident in Job chapter 1. The book opens up. It says Satan went to report to God and said, have you considered your servant Jack? Have you considered your servant Job, is what the Bible says. But before he could touch anybody, he has to check with God. And then we know the rest of the story. But listen, Job still has access today. In verses 8 and 9, as we will read here in a bit, he will no longer have that access during the second half of the tribulation period. Also, in verse 4, we see the dragon standing before Israel as she is about to give birth to their Messiah, and the devil is standing by just waiting to devour this child, where he's waiting to devour Jesus, or the Messiah that was promised all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 and 15. If you know this passage in your Bible, the Bible says that the serpent will bruise the heel of the seed, but the seed will crush the head of the devil. You see, this began way back. How many of you know the devil knows the Bible? He knows knows this word very well. We're going to see that here in a little bit. But the devil knows that this is coming along because Jesus would crush his head on Calvary. We see the fulfillment of him trying to kill Jesus in Matthew chapter 2 when the demon-inspired Herod gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under. We know the story. Mary and Joseph, they fled to Egypt with the Christ child, and thus the Savior of the world was preserved. Verse 6 states that her child, the Messiah, would rule the nations, and he was caught up to God. He was harpazo. He was raptured to his throne, which we know to be true as Jesus was caught up in Acts chapter 1 when the disciples were standing around and he descended into heaven. And I love what the angels told them. Why do you stand looking up? Don't you know that that same Jesus, hey, the same way you saw him ascend is the same way he's going to descend, just like Sherry saw. She saw a cloud of glory. Jesus is coming back in a cloud of glory one day. Come on, somebody in the house, give our God a praise for that day. My God. Also in verse 6, it states that this woman, Israel, would flee and be hidden for 1260 days, exactly, or 3.5 years during the tribulation period. So in these first 6 verses of chapter 12, they span the pre-Adamic age to the birth and the ascension of Jesus Christ to Satan being cast down to the earth in Ezekiel chapter 28. So John is giving us a summary view of thousands of years of history. Let's move on. Verse 7. Verse 7 says, then, somebody say, then. Remember, that's a timestamp when you see words like that in your Bible. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. Verse 9 says, the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. So at this point, we know that we are already in the tribulation period. So when does the devil get thrown down? The Bible says then, meaning after the Jews are hidden in the wilderness. This has not taken place yet. The record of the devil being hurled down here is not the same as when he got hurled out of heaven in Ezekiel 28. When you read Ezekiel 28, verse 17, it was God himself that threw the devil out of heaven. Remember, Jesus even testified to that when he was on earth. He said, I saw Satan fell. I beheld him as a bolt of lightning being thrown out of heaven. So that's past tense. Here, Michael the archangel puts a beat down on the devil, and he cast him and his angels to the earth. At this point, he loses his access to God to accuse the brethren. Are you following me? Somebody say amen. Now, listen, at this point, the devil's big mad. I mean, he is angry, and he's about to unleash his hatred and fury on the earth. Verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God. It's about to wrap up here. And the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, the accuser of the brethren who accuses them before God day and night, he's been hurled down. Verse 11. They triumphed over him. Here it is. This is good. How? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows his time is short. So in verse 10, we see a pivotal point in time. The time has come. The hourglass has been tipped. Messiah Jesus Christ is now reigning, as we saw in chapter 11. Satan and his angels have been defeated in the heavenlies, and now they are completely relegated to earth. The next stop for the devil and his angels is hell. He will not pass go. He will not collect $200. Come on, some of you Monopoly fans. He was the accuser of the brethren before God, which he still is today, because this has not come to pass, because we have not come to that point yet. And the scriptures tell us how we overcome him. It's by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. Are you saved? You need to testify. Are you saved? You want to overcome the devil? Open your mouth. Testify. Say Jesus is Lord. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Confess Jesus. It's going to be offensive. We had testimony last week when they said the name of Jesus. Some of the folks went running like cockroaches, putting a bright light on them. Are you hearing me, somebody? Speak the name of Jesus. They overcome it by the blood of the Lamb. And tell somebody how good God has been to you. And the third thing, which most people like to leave this one out, they did not love their lives even unto death. Ouch. That hurts, preacher. What the Bible is saying, we come to that point where we are completely selfless. Listen, saints of God, listen. I hope that none of us here ever are put in the position where we have to choose life or Jesus, or torture or Jesus. And most likely, statistically proven, none of us ever will. But that doesn't mean we should not ask ourselves, what would we do in that situation? Remember Columbine? They came in with a gun. Are you going to confess Jesus? It was her choice. She says, I will not deny Christ. I will not deny Jesus Christ. I will give him glory. Your bullet is just going to send me to my eternity. Come on, somebody in the house. And he pulled the trigger. So most of us, though, aren't going to have to come to that point. But be ready. Be ready. Look at your neighbor and say, be ready. It could come. So most of us aren't going to come to that. But however, listen, the hatred and the violence against the Church of Jesus Christ is rising around the world, even here in the United States. Listen, we are not exempt. We are not exempt. I have a slide here. Watch this. I need this slide up here, Josh. This is just since 2020. Violent acts against the church have increased dramatically in the USA. In the year 2020, we had 55 violent attacks against the church. It's a lot. But in 2023, we had 485. Do you see the chart? 2024, just 2 years ago, we had 415. We don't have the numbers for 2025. Listen, that's more than one per day. These attacks, but most of the media, the propagandist media, will never tell you these statistics. Are you hearing me, church? Violent anti-Semitic attacks in 2025. Killed, watch this, the highest number of Jews in America in 30 years, according to a new annual report from CNN. And they're not Jew lovers, are you hearing me? Worldwide anti-Semitic violence is at record highs in a report that just came out on April 14th from DW Publications in Israel. Today, my brothers and my sisters, we are watching the warm-up for the fulfillment of the passages that we are reading in Revelation chapter 12. When the mark of the beast comes in chapter 13, and you can no longer work or make any financial transactions, you won't be able to purchase food, you won't be able to pay your rent, you won't be able to pay your mortgage, you can't buy gasoline. And I listen now, let me get my theology straight here, my eschatology straight. I believe that we will be raptured by this point. Are you hearing me? Somebody needs to thank God right in there somewhere. But here, listen. Right now, I'm speaking to the nominal Christian, that those who go by Christian in name only, those who are playing footsies with Jesus. Come on, talk to me, church. I told you last week, Jesus isn't coming back for a mistress. He's not coming back for a girlfriend. No. He's not coming back for a boo. No. He's coming back for the bride of Christ. Oh, come on, somebody, put your hands together and give him a praise. Now, when that time comes, if you're still on the earth, you might be able to tough it out personally. I'm a tough guy. I can go without food. I'll sleep out in the tent. I'll do whatever I have to do. But let me ask you this question, my brother, my sister. What are you going to do when your little child comes to you and says that they're hungry? When your children, your grandchildren come, can't we take the mark, mommy and daddy? It won't hurt that bad. I'm really hungry. We haven't eaten in days. Could you imagine the pressure that's going to be on the Christian at that time if they're a true believer? You know, mommy, you know, daddy, you always told us that our God was a God of love. He'll understand if we take the mark.
Come on now.
A God of love doesn't want us to starve, does he? Could you imagine, church? That's why I'm encouraging you today to get right, or you're going to get left. Call on the name of Jesus today. Don't wait for this afternoon. Don't wait for tomorrow. That's the biggest lie of the devil. Wait. I'm telling you, church, the day is coming. The day is coming. If you're not born again, if you're just a nominal Christian, I'm imploring you today to call on the name of Jesus. Even though today we're not in the tribulation period yet, there is still severe persecution against Christianity and Judaism all over the earth. How do you know we're not in this tribulation, preacher? Well, it sure looks like it. How do you know? Well, because the Bible tells us exactly when the tribulation period begins. It's found in your Bible in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. It's when the Antichrist will confirm a specific seven-year covenant or a seven-year peace agreement with many nations. It's very specific. At that point, the hourglass will be tipped over. But you could see these peace agreements that are all kind of coming into place over in the Middle East. Are you following this? I believe it's the framework for the seven-year covenant that will come to pass. The tribulation also begins in Revelation chapter 6 with the white horse, with a time of peace. In Ezekiel 38, when we read about the battle of Gog and Magog, it says Israel will be a land without walls, will be living in peace and safety. It's also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says when people are saying peace and safety, then, somebody say then, then destruction is coming. So listen, church, we are not at that place yet. And once again, by all reports, religious as well as secular publication, persecution against Christianity is on the rapid increase and is intensifying significantly. Remember, even more so on the Jews. The devil has two targets. It's the Jews and it's you if you're a born again believer here today. Once again, my position is that we as the true church of Jesus Christ, we have what's known in your Bible, it's called the blessed hope, also called the rapture. That's why to you and to me, these messages aren't about gloom and doom. They're about boom and, come on, zoom. Because according to 1 Thessalonians 5, we have not been appointed to suffer wrath. It doesn't say that we're not going to suffer trials and tribulation. It doesn't say we're not going to be persecuted. It specifically says we are not appointed to suffer wrath. I believe that at this time in Revelation 12, we've long been raptured. We are in heaven. I need my next scripture up there. When Satan is hurled to the earth and then he unleashes his wrath. Because remember, you have the wrath of the Lamb, then you have the wrath of Satan that is coming. I believe that we as the true church will be a part of verse 12 when it says this: therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. How many of you in this house are planning to dwell there on that day? But woe to the earth and to the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. So there's two things going on simultaneous right now, or at that time. All hell is going to be breaking out on earth with Satan pouring out his wrath and killing millions of people. But simultaneously, we're going to be around the throne. Thank you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. I give you glory and honor and power that's due your name. I thank you, Jesus. Oh, that's good preaching, y'all. That's our blessed hope. So at this point, the devil knows that his time is short. His days are numbered. 1260 days. Your Bible is specific. 1260 to be exact. And he is going to pull out all stops to deceive the multitudes and get as many people to go to hell as he can. Listen, that's his end game. The devil isn't really concerned about your job, your employment. He is, but listen, he wants to populate hell. That's his point. That's his mission on this earth. But we are here as the body of Christ to depopulate hell and to populate heaven. Come on, somebody. That's our mission. That is our mission. So here we go. Chapter 12, beginning in verse 13. When the dragon, meaning Satan, saw that he had been hurled down to the earth, he pursued the woman, who is the nation of Israel or the Jews, who had given birth to the male child, Messiah, Jesus. Verse 14, the woman, the Jews, were given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to a place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time, a times, and a half a time out of the serpent's reach. So the Jews are going to be taken to a place that is prepared for her. This is the same verbiage, if you're familiar with John chapter 14, when they were asking Jesus, and he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, paralambano in the Greek. It's the same verbiage, although Jesus was speaking about the rapture. He's going to go prepare a place for us so that when he comes back and grabs his bride, we're going to the great chuppah in the sky for the room in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Are you with me? Somebody say amen. So God is already going to have a place of security for the Jews, and the Bible says they will be out of the reach of the devil. Most Bible teachers, most Bible scholars agree that this place on earth where the Jews will flee is the city of Petra, which is located in the country of Jordan, which Petra is a natural fortress, and Satan in the physical will not be able to get his hands on them. Because remember, this is a spiritual battle as well as a physical battle. The verbiage of a time, times, and a half of time, this is a direct reference to Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, when it speaks about the 3.5 years, also referred to as the 1260 days. In Daniel, he refers to it as a time, and a half a time. In verse 13, the Bible says that the devil realized he had been hurled out of heaven and relegated to the earth, and no longer had access to God, whereby he can accuse the brethren. Therefore, he turns his complete fury on who? the woman who had given birth to the male child or the Messiah or Jesus Christ. In other words, he's going to turn his fury even more so onto the Jews. So Satan's focus now is completely on the Jews, even though most of them have still not turned to Jesus yet. Still have not turned to Jesus yet. Verse 14. It's a very interesting verse. Watch this. It says, the woman, the Jews, were given the two wings of an eagle so that she might fly to the place that was prepared for her in the wilderness for 3.5 years. So God will have a safe place for his remnant when the time comes. Now, there are some that believe that these wings of the great eagle could be a reference to the United States assisting the Jews fleeing the severe persecution of the devil and his angels midway through the tribulation period. Some believe that. Here's the reasoning. Let me just break this down. Now, first of all, the USA is not explicitly mentioned anywhere in your Bible. Just like you don't read about Brazil or Australia. Nowhere is it referenced to Mexico or South Africa. It doesn't mention these nations. However, I believe that this will be a miraculous event, and this is a reference to Exodus 19 and verse 4, where God states that he took the Israelites out of Egypt on the wings of an eagle. It's just metaphorically speaking. We know that they crossed through on dry land. A giant eagle didn't come down to take them out. So it's a metaphor how it's going to be miraculous. So right now, today, we are Israel's only ally, the United States of America. Europe has turned on her. The Pope has turned on her. And we've talked about this enough times. We understand that the Catholic doctrine teaches replacement theology, which is heresy. Are you hearing me? The church did not replace Israel. The church is not spiritual Israel. Israel still exists. God still has a plan for that nation. So the Pope has completely turned. Japan, a ally of us. Australia has turned. All of these so-called allies will not help defend Israel today. This whole Iran, as we're in it, because they've killed thousands of Americans, but they shout, death to America. Death to Israel. Come on, have you heard the chants before? Do you think they're just saying that for fun? They mean it. Death to Israel, why? Jews. Death to America, why? Christian nation. The two largest enemies against Satan are the Christians and what? And the Jews. Right now, we are their only ally. In Israel's history, they have never had an ally such as the USA. However, listen, many in our Congress and those who are in position of power around the nation would like to see that change, and change quickly. Our government is laced with Jew haters. We even have a mayor in New York City that calls for a worldwide intifada, meaning wipe out all the Jews around the world. He permits Islamic prayer at Times Square, but he just recently canceled the celebration for our 250th birthday. He does not want to recognize America. Or talk to me, somebody. These God-hating, anti-Semites in our nation, they cried out when we bombed Iran on February the 28th, because, oh, it's Ramadan. Why'd you bomb them on Ramadan? You shouldn't bomb them on their high holy days. Well, let me ask this question. Where was their cry on October 7th, 2023? When Iran, through their proxies, Hamas, massacred 1,200 Jews, they captured 250 hostages including, listen, Americans. They burned children while they were alive. They put children in ovens in front of their families and baked their children. And this was all over, listen, over the Feast of Tabernacles. Where was their cry? Do you see the hatred bubbling up around the world, saints of God? Come on, talk to me, somebody in the house. You can easily see who's pro-Israel, who's anti-Israel. I believe that we're living in the day where the lines are being drawn. Watch what people do. Listen closely to what they say. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about pastors. It's almost difficult sometimes when somebody says, well, who's a good preacher to listen to? They're becoming fewer and fewer and fewer. There have been many in days past where I thought they preached sound doctrine. I hear them today, a year later, they're so far off the chart, it makes my head spin. There's great deception coming in the earth. Jesus prophesied it. We're living in the day. Come on, somebody help me here. Lord Jesus, help us. Jesus said it this way, honey, you're either with me or you're against me. It's a binary choice. There's not a spectrum here. It's one or the other. Now listen, let me make myself very clear right here. Just because I'm pro-Israel doesn't mean that I agree with everything that they do. I'm pro-American. But honey, I don't agree with everything our government does. Are you hearing me? I don't agree with everything my children do or my wife does and they with me. But I'm still pro-Yerusha. Come on, somebody talk to me. My Lord. Remember, saints, watch the news with a prophetic eye. Not a political eye. Watch it with a prophetic eye. Listen, not a cultural eye.
Come on.
Don't be persuaded by these anti-Christ, anti-Semitic news reporters and podcasters. Listen closely to what these politicians and the media pundits are saying about Israel. Listen, Genesis 12 and 3 is still true today. The Bible says, you bless my people, I'm going to bless you. If you curse my people, I'm going to curse you. That word was true 4,000 years ago, and it's true today. Come on, somebody in the house. It applied to every nation and people then. It applies to every nation and people today in the 21st century. Why? Because our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. So as for me and the house of Judah, we will stand on God's word. We will bless and support Israel. And like Isaiah said, for Zion's sake, I will not remain silent. So if you're with today the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, come on, somebody in the house, give our God a praise. Hey! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. So let me get back to my eagle here. So there's debate as to whether America is in the Bible or not. Some say yes, most say no. Either way, it's not a theological deal breaker, amen? Amen. But remember this. This wouldn't be the first time that the USA would assist the Jews in their time of persecution. God has used the United States of America in major, major prophetic fulfillment. We don't have the time this morning, but Christopher Columbus, who was believed by many to a messianic Jew, he sailed from Spain in 1492. There's great significance there, because in 1492, I was right in the heat of the Spanish Inquisition. If you're not familiar with the Spanish Inquisition, what it was is King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella was expulsing or getting rid of the Jews by expulsion. They told the Jews, here's your three options. Number one, you had to convert to Catholicism. Number two, you're going to live here, but it will be under severe persecution. Number three, you're going to die. Take your choice. So Christopher Columbus, unbeknownst to him, he left Spain and he came to the USA, which would eventually become a safe haven for Jews all over the world. Christopher Columbus was absolutely led by the Holy Spirit, led to this land, regardless of what these history revisionists try to tell you. I'm talking about Bible, not Babel. Talk to me, somebody. In fact, we had more Jews living here in the USA than in Israel up until just a few years ago when they finally surpassed us. Not to mention that the USA's involvement in World War II freeing the Jews from the jaws of Nazi Germany. Listen, if God doesn't use the USA in that time frame, the Jews would be annihilated. May 14th, 1948, an American president by the name of Harry S. Truman. We were the first nation to recognize them as a nation after nearly 2,000 years, fulfilling Isaiah 11:11, when they were called back a second time to their nation. Listen, prophecy fulfilled. Exactly 70 years later, we're talking accuracy and perfection of time. On May 14th, 2018, exactly 70 years later, under another American president, Donald Trump, we moved our embassy from Tel Aviv into Jerusalem, stating to the world that Jerusalem is the rightful capital of Israel. I'm telling you, it's prophecy fulfilled. Talk to me, somebody in the house. In 2019, let me go on, we as the United States of America, we recognize the Golan Heights being a part of Israel's territory, much to the chagrin of Syria and Russia and Iran and all their evil cohorts. This extremely strategic territory has been in dispute for more than 50 years. It's all setting the stage for the coming of the tribulation period in Revelation chapter 12. Once again, the USA stepped in on the side of Israel. It's prophecy fulfilled. Now, even though the USA is not explicitly mentioned, there is no doubt that God has used this nation for prophecy fulfillment over the past 500 years. It's indisputable. Not to mention, nobody, somebody say nobody, come on, shout nobody, has sent more missionaries throughout the earth than the United States of America. None. Come on, somebody, put your hands together. However, I do believe this scripture. You go look it up later. It's in Zechariah 12, also Zechariah 14, and in verse 2, I believe. God says that he is going to gather all nations on the earth to come against Israel, and he will destroy them, and that does include America. God didn't need, listen, the American Navy to transport the Jews across the Red Sea. Amen? Listen, he's not going to need the United States Air Force to get them into Petra either. Come on, somebody. Our God is a miracle working God. So let me wrap this up here this morning. Revelation chapter 12, verses 15 through 17. It says, then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the Jews, the woman, and sweep her away with a torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and who went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring. That's the Gentile believers. That would be you and I. Those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. So the Jews here, this is in the tribulation period, remember we're about halfway in, are miraculously relocated to a safe haven, and the devil is furious. The Bible says, from his mouth spewed water like a river to overtake the Jews. This water from his mouth kind of has a dual meaning. It could mean words spewing out of his mouth. In other words, a river of hatred, the anti-Semitism. How many of you know it's so true today? The blasphemy that comes from some of these people, even preachers. Very, very sad. Secondly, it could mean the release of a great military, a great force, as in the war of Gog and Magog in Ezekiel 38 and 39, the Bible says when they came against Israel, the Bible says a great earthquake opened up and it swallowed the army. So it could mean that a physical army that the devil is going to incite to attack the Jews, they're going to be wiped out with an earthquake. How many of you know our God doesn't need B-2 bombers? Verse 17, Satan is utterly frustrated at not being able to destroy the Jews. He turns his anger to their offspring, which is, listen, the post-rapture saints. We're gone. Amen. I just want to make sure that we're keeping straight here. The post-rapture saints, the tribulation Christians, those who are on earth at the time, he will make war against these Gentile believers because he cannot go after the Jews anymore. At this point, we now enter the last 3.5 years on earth as it's known. As Jesus called it, it was the great tribulation period. And he said about this time, there was never a time like it on earth. There will never be another time like it on earth. That's going to be the wrap up. Saints, listen, I believe we're looking at the forefront of this with everything's wrapping up. I'm not telling you it's happening next week or next year, but the wheels are turning. Keep your prophetic ears open. Don't believe and I tell you this all the time, don't believe everything I say. Be a Berean. You will not show up in heaven one day. Well, Pastor Mike, that's not what he said to me. No. I know he's up in heaven somewhere. Go ask him what he told. No. Be a Berean. Go look it out. Study it out. Don't be lazy. No drive-through church here. Talk to me, somebody. I know you're not only going to eat one physical meal a week, like today is the only day you're going to eat physically, right? No? You're going to eat Monday, Tuesday?
That's right.
How many of you know 7 days without reading the Bible makes 1 week?
Amen.
Did y'all get that?
Amen.
All right, so the next message. We're going to begin to look at chapter 13, which covers the one world economy, one world religion, the one world government, as well as the mark of the beast, which is 666. And we're going to break all that down in the next message. Once again, these chapters mark the midway point of the tribulation period. At the end of this 3.5 years, Jesus Christ will return with his saints. He will establish his kingdom on this earth, and he will reign for all eternity. So along the way, listen, there's going to be some trials, there's going to be some tests, there's going to be some tribulation. But aren't you glad today that you're on the side of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Aren't you glad we know who wins the match? Come on, somebody. We win in a blowout. Come on, somebody, put your hands together. Come on to your feet. Hallelujah. Come on, praise him in the house. Hey.
To all creation, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. To every nation, every generation. To all creation, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.